you're able to stand, if you could stand again, I'm going to introduce our guest speaker this morning. It's good to be in church. After missing a few Sundays, I didn't realize how much I missed my church until I stepped into the sanctuary of the Lord, right? I'm just thankful for the presence of God in the house today and the faith, the predisposed faith that is here. You know, sometimes we got to kind of work our way up there, and then sometimes we come in ready. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and he is predisposed to honoring our predisposed faith. Can you say amen? Well, I do want to clarify that it is as much about my dad and my mom and our family as it is us. And whenever we would tell someone, with him standing there, that is, that we were expecting, you know, they'd say to us, congratulations. And then they would turn to him and say, and congratulations to you, Pastor. So I'm legitimately blessed, and God has been favorable over my life, and thankful for my wife and our daughter, Johnny. May the Lord bless her in Jesus' name. Well, we are so blessed today to have brother and sister Jared Goley with us. They are full-time evangelists basing out of Northeast Arkansas, and I could take a few minutes this morning, at least, and give context to their multiple connections to this church, and it's really quite unique, the different relationships that they share with this church. But I'm going to keep the main thing, and move us along to the Word of God this morning. So let me just say that these are people who it doesn't take long in being around them to recognize that they take serious the call of God on their life and the work of the kingdom of God. And I feel confident in saying about Brother Goley that he not only believes what he preaches, but he lives out what he preaches with conviction. And I believe in a basic sense, that's what it means to be apostolic. He has a word from the Lord for us this morning. He has a word for me this morning. If you can testify to that, that he has a word for you, would you just lift your hand and receive it in advance? Lord, we thank you, God, for your presence that we feel in this place. We pray that you would continue to move and to minister, God. Use Brother Goley as a vessel today. Let your word go forward, uninhibited, unrestrained, and for your glory. And in Jesus' name we pray. Can we put our hands together and welcome Brother Goley to the platform?
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I'm going to try that again. Praise the Lord, everybody. Is there anybody that's glad to be in the house of God this morning? I tell you, I feel the presence of the Lord in this room. Is there anybody that feels it with me? And I don't know what need you walked in this room with, but I want you to know that we serve a God that is well able. I said he is well able to do whatever it is that you are needing him to do in this room this morning. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. And he will do what he said that he would do. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. But if he said it, it will come to pass. Amen. Can somebody put your hands together and just give God some praise? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, I am so excited to be here in Indiana with you today. And you can be seated for a few seconds. I promise my preliminaries will not be long. Because I do have a word from the Lord for you this morning. But I will start off by saying that it's so good to be with this church for the very first time. And so I'm getting acclimated with you as you are getting acclimated with me. And you're wondering, who in the world is this guy? But it's all right. We're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. I would like to give honor to some people that I have just met, but they are family. And I give honor to, I'm going to say this, my Uncle David and my Aunt Phyllis. And I am so thankful to be connected with this family. This is my wife's family from her dad's side. And so I'm just so thankful to be connected with such great people. Amen. As well as some cousins, and I'll get in trouble if I start naming names and all of that, because I also know several other people. I was talking to someone earlier, and I said, man, there's some faces that I just haven't seen in like over 10 years. And so it's crazy, but I'm just excited to be here with you today. 1 Samuel chapter 7, we'll begin reading at verse 14. If you don't mind standing for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 14. I believe that God is going to do something in somebody's life today. And I will say this. This is something that I say quite frequently, and I'll say it like this. If you will connect your faith with God's ability, there is no limit to what God can do in your life. If you will connect your faith to God's ability, it doesn't matter what the impossibility is. It doesn't matter what the struggle is, what the problem is, what the pain is. He is well able to do it. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 14, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. Skipping down to verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. And I want to preach for a few moments with the help of the Holy Ghost on this subject. Come out of hiding. Come out of hiding. I don't know where you are today in your walk with God. I don't know what struggles you've been dealing with, but God has sent me with a word for you in the midst of your struggle to come out of hiding. Amen. Would you put your Bibles down and would you close your eyes and ask that the Lord would speak a word to you in your life right now? Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for everything that you have done in this place so far. We thank you for your spirit that we already feel moving in the room today. We thank you for the sweet presence of God that is in this place. And I pray that you would move in this house, that you would deliver somebody out of a cave this morning, Lord. I pray that you would heal somebody, that you would restore somebody, Lord. Give somebody some strength in this place today to get the victory in this house. Would you put your hands together and give God some high praise in this place this morning? Oh, yes, we love you, Jesus. Yeah, that feels good. I wonder if we can do that for a few more seconds and just entertain the presence of God in this room right now. He's getting ready to turn somebody's life around. He's getting ready to shift something in your life today. Would you give him an advanced praise in the room this morning? To the name of Jesus. Glory to the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you turn to your neighbor real quick and just say, come out of hiding. Yeah. Go ahead and turn over to the other neighbor that you just ignored and say, come out of hiding. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Come out of hiding. When I was growing up, there was a game that was extremely popular among my group of friends. And that game was called hide and seek with some tag on it. How many of you have ever played hide and seek? I'm just going to tell you, you hadn't really lived life until you played a good game of hide and seek. But among this group of friends, there were some that were greatly gifted in the part of hiding, but they were not so good at the part of tag. What do I mean by this? Let me break this down for you. There were some that were so good at hiding because the Lord had not blessed them with the physique to be able to obtain the speed that they needed to get to in order to reach base before being tagged. In other words, they were slow. But there were some of us, and I do say some of us, that were not so good at the hiding part, but we were really good at the tag part. We would hide in some not so good places behind a bush or something to where it was easy to get out of the place that we were hiding in. And if the person that was it was slow enough, you know, you just got to have a little bit of fun and kind of taunt that person a little bit, you know, and have a little fun before you go and touch base and you're safe. But I feel in this room today that there are some people in this house that the enemy is playing a game of hide and seek with some of you. Some of us in this room, the enemy has trapped us into a place of hiding. And he's done this by trying to convince us that he has power, dominion, and authority over us. But I've come on assignment this Sunday morning to let somebody know that it's time to come out of your hiding place. The enemy does not have power, a dominion, and authority over a child of the King. But you have enough power that is inside of you to defeat whatever it is that is coming against you and trying to force you into a place of hiding. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, the prophet Samuel hears a word from the Lord that there is a young man by the name of Saul that is to be anointed to become the first human king of Israel. So it is that Samuel meets this young man while he is searching for his father's donkeys. And this is Saul's response to the task of becoming the king of Israel. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 21. And Saul answered and said, "Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" He looks at the prophet Samuel, who has just received a word from the Lord that he is to be anointed king. And he is basically telling him, "I'm too insignificant in order to do what God has called me to do." And he goes back and he begins to rehearse where his family comes from and how insignificant not only he is, but how insignificant his family seems to be among the nation and the family of Israel. Said, "I'm insignificant. I'm not qualified for this because my family and the tribe that I'm from is the smallest of the nation of Israel." Said, "I'm not qualified to do this." But I love the response that Samuel gives, because it's not really a response or a rebuttal to the things that Saul is saying. You find in verse 22 that he says, "And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden." What does that tell me? That tells me that it didn't matter what Saul thought about himself, that there was a place at the table that God had prepared just for him. My God, have mercy. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself right now and how insignificant you feel like you may be in the kingdom of God. I want you to know that God has a place at the table just for you. It doesn't matter what failures. God, have mercy. It doesn't matter the failures or the mistakes that you've made or the past that your family has been in or your family history. I want you to know today that God has a plan for you and he's got a seat at the table just for you. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse 4 in the King James Version first. I love this. This stuck out so much to me this week as I was reading this. "But God, who is rich in mercy." Anybody thankful for the mercy of God? You didn't deserve to have a seat at the table, but he made one anyway. I didn't deserve to have a seat at the table or to be where I'm standing today, but it was because of the grace and the mercy of God that he was rich in mercy, that he didn't leave me out. Thank you, Jesus. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." I love the way that the NLT version translates verse 7. "So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us." It's because of his grace and mercy that we are standing in this place today, that we have a place and a seat at the table. It's because of his grace and his mercy. Oh, Jesus. Here's the way that I kind of envision this verse as I begin to look at this scripture, and I'm looking at Saul and how he is feeling so insignificant because of his family history and all of the things that he has done and all of the things that he's been through. And it says that God wanted to point at us as an example. And so this table that Samuel has for all of the people, all of the guests, the 30-something guests that were there, he's got a seat at the table, but the Bible doesn't say that he put him at the lowest end of the table, as if he just barely made it. But even with the history of his family and everything that his family had been through, he looked at him and he said, "I'm going to set you at the chiefest place." In other words, it's not by accident that you're where you are. It's not by accident. And I didn't just say, "Oh, by the way, I just ran into you. So what's your name, bro?"
Harris.
Harris, God didn't say, "Oh, man, I just bumped into you. And so you know what? You're the last person on the list. So I'll just go ahead. I got one invite left." No, but he purposed in his mind and said, "I'm going to chase after you with my goodness and with my mercy. My goodness and my grace is going to chase after you. It doesn't matter the failures or the mistakes that you've made. It doesn't matter how many times you've disappointed God. I'm here to tell somebody in this room today that God is chasing after you. He's chasing after you with anointing. He's chasing after you with purpose. He's chasing after you." Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm reminded of a man that the Bible calls Gideon. And the Bible says that Gideon was hiding in a wine press, and he was working on this wheat. And during this time, the people of Israel have been getting bullied by these people. They've been getting bullied for 7 years. The Bible says that all of a sudden the angel of the Lord showed up to Gideon. And he looks at him and he says, "Hey, mighty man of valor." Mighty man of valor. And I can see in my mind's eye, you have to forgive me, but I have an imagination as I'm reading the word of God. And as I'm looking at this guy named Gideon, I can see as he's working on this wheat, all of a sudden he sees this angel. He's like, "What in the world is going on here? This is craziness. It's been 7 years. Haven't heard from God. Don't know where he's at in my situation. Been getting bullied around. What is going on?" And then the angel gives him this greeting. "Hey, mighty man of valor." And Gideon's like, "Is somebody else in this room with me? Because I don't see anybody mighty." He's looking around and he's wondering what is going on. And the angel of the Lord says, "Go in this thy might." What might are you talking about? Because I'm in a hiding place right now. The enemy has been bullying me around for 7 years, and I don't see an end in sight. God have mercy. I don't see anything coming to an end. I don't see victory coming in my life. I don't feel peace even being restored in my mind right now, because all that I see is the enemy surrounding me, and all that I see is the pain and sorrow that the nation of Israel is dealing with as they're being bullied by this nation. What is going on? What are you talking about? Go in this thy might. And then you're referring to me as a mighty man of valor. I don't get that. Can I tell some of us in this room that when God speaks to us, we may not recognize it? Because God is speaking to us according to what he created us to be, and not according to what the situation has tried to force us into being. God have mercy. We're looking at the situation that we're going through, and we would love to answer to the name of depressed. We would love to answer to the name of anxiety. We would love to answer to the name of fear. But God's not calling you that this morning. He's calling you mighty. He's calling you anointed. He's calling you saying, "I've got purpose and I've got destiny and I've got plans for your life." Don't answer by what the... Oh, Jesus. Don't answer by what the situation is calling you, but answer to what God is speaking to you and what he's saying about your life. What is God calling you in this room this morning? I wonder if you'd lift your hands all across this room. In the name of Jesus, he's calling somebody in this room this morning. And he's asking, will you answer? I'm trying to call you out of a low place. I'm trying to call you out of the valley that you may find yourself in this morning and give you victory and power. Oh, yeah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So the Bible tells us that now Samuel is calling the nation of Israel together. He's calling them together, and he looks at them and he says, "Hey, we got some good news here. Something that you've been looking for a while, it's finally here." And he calls the tribe of Benjamin forward, and they're looking. He said, "All right, Benjamin's here. Now I want to call the family of Kish forward." And he calls the family of Kish forward, and they're looking for this young man. He said, I know I just spoke to him just a little bit ago. Where in the world is he? And the Bible says this in 1 Samuel chapter 10, that Saul is in a hiding place. He's nowhere to be found. Now, I don't know about you, but I refuse, after reading this, to play a game of hide and seek with Saul. He's too good. Because the Bible says that he literally, they have to inquire of the Lord to find this man. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered and said, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. He's hidden amongst the stuff. Some of us in this room are hiding amongst some stuff. Hiding in our insecurities. Hiding in our mistakes. Hiding in our past failures. And that's where the enemy would love to keep us at, because he understands that if they ever get out of that hiding place, they have enough power, enough anointing, and enough authority to come against my kingdom and destroy it. Ah, Jesus, have mercy. Is there anybody that believes that you have enough power? Is there anybody that believes that you have enough authority? In the name of Jesus. But the problem with Saul hiding is that it's not just a one-time thing, but that it becomes a pattern. And it's no longer just affecting him, but now it's affecting those that are following him. Can I tell us in this room today that when we come out of our hiding place, it will affect the people that are around us? Mama, if you decide to come out of your hiding place, it's going to affect your children. Daddy, when you decide to come out of your hiding place and say, I'm going to be what God has called me to be, I refuse to hide from the call that God has on my life. I refuse to hide from the destiny that God has for my life. It will not just affect you, but it will affect your family and those that are looking and watching you. So the Bible says that now, 1 Samuel chapter 13, that Saul has been reigning for 2 years, and he's coming against the Philistines once again. And so Saul goes and he gathers an army together of 3,000 men. He's got 2,000 with him and 1,000 with his son Jonathan. But on the other side of the battle is a very different situation. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 5 says, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. And it's in this moment that Saul and the children of Israel have a decision that they need to make. Do I hide or do I fight? Do I hide or do I fight? Because they are highly outnumbered and they are extremely under-equipped. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 6 says, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And it's in this moment that the people of God find themselves running and hiding in caves because of the fear of their enemies. Can I tell us in this room today that the Bible refers to caves 39 times in 14 books. And out of those 39 times, Not once did God ever tell a man or a woman to ever go and hide in a cave. Not one time did God ever tell a young man or a young woman or an elder to go hide in a place. But matter of fact, every time God finds somebody in a cave like Elijah, he looks at him and he says, "What are you doing here? I didn't call you to a cave to go and hide, but I placed my anointing on you. I place my authority on you for you to have victory and power over this thing. What are you doing hiding in a cave?" I've come to ask somebody that question today. Why are you hiding in a cave? What is it that forced you into this place? I'm here to tell somebody today, whatever it is, you have enough power with inside of you to defeat whatever it is that has tried to push you and bully you into the cave. You don't belong there. You're a child of the King. You're robed in righteousness. You're clothed with his authority and with his power. You don't belong in the cave. Oh, Jesus. What are caves used for? In the biblical text, caves are used for first prisons. The enemy would love for you to walk yourself into your own prison. He would love for you to walk yourself into your own prison. But I'm here to tell somebody today that if you walked in to that prison, then you can walk out. You don't have to stay there. Thank you, Jesus. The secondary use of a cave was a burial place. It was a place that signified the end of a journey on this earth. That's what the enemy would love to convince you. He would love to convince you that it's okay to go and to walk into the cave and just to give you kind of a pre-glimpse of where you'll end up. To give you a glimpse of where your future is. But somebody needs to remind the devil that is not my future. The cave is not where my story ends. That is not where your story is ending. I'm sure that people would love to have convinced Lazarus that the cave is where his final destination would be before Jesus showed up. But all of a sudden, as he's wrapped in these grave clothes, all of a sudden, he hears a voice that is saying, "Lazarus, come forth." God is standing at the mouth of your cave this morning, and he's saying, "I want you to come out. I want you to come forth. I've got something greater for you. I've got a destiny for you. I've got a purpose for you. I've got blessing for your family. I've got a hope and a future for you. It's time to come out of the cave." Oh, yes. But there's a young man by the name of Jonathan. The Bible tells us that Jonathan is Saul's son. Very interesting to me that Jonathan, unlike his father Saul, refuses to go and hide in a cave. But here's the thing I want us to understand about Jonathan being Saul's son. He was from the same bloodline. He had the same family. He had the same family history. He came from the same tribe, came from the same small family. But there was one difference about Jonathan, and it's that he knew who was fighting for him. He knew who was on his side. I wonder if there's anybody that knows who's in your corner. I wonder if there's anybody that knows that there's a God that is on your side. Yeah, it doesn't matter what enemy it is that is trying to come against you. There is a God that loves you and is on your side. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor,
Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. In other words, let's just give him an opportunity to move. Let's just give God a chance and see what he is willing to do. I'm going to stand up. I refuse to bow down. I refuse to back down. I refuse to quit and go and run and hide in a cave. But I'm going to stand up and I'm going to be what God has called me to be and give God an opportunity to turn this thing around. He said, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. If we can switch over to the NLT version, let's go across to the outpost of those pagans. I love that. I love that terminology because Jonathan not only knows who's in his corner, but he understands the position of those that he's fighting against. These are not anointed people. These are not anointed things. But I've got anointing on my life, so it doesn't matter what comes against me. I can defeat it with the anointing that God has on my life. So he says, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, perhaps the Lord will help us. For nothing can hinder the Lord. Nothing can stop him. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or he only has a few. I know we've got more than a few people in the place today. But I wonder if there's anybody in this room that would give God an opportunity to move. That would say, it doesn't matter what I'm fighting against. It doesn't matter what tried to force me into this place. I refuse to stay here. I refuse to bow down to this thing. But I'm standing up and I'm coming out of it. I'm claiming the victory. I'm going to claim my healing. I'm going to claim deliverance. I'm going to walk in it. We've got a few of us in this room that said, I refuse to settle for the position that I'm in. I refuse to settle for the place that I'm in, but I will go after the deliverance that God has for me. I'm going to go after the blessing that God has for my family. I'm going to go after the favor that God has for me, because what God has for me, it's for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So it is that Jonathan and his armor bearer, they begin to slay these people. They begin to slay these things that have tried to torment them, these Philistines. And 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 20, Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves. And they came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a very great discomfiture. Here's what I want us to understand from this passage, is that when Jonathan and his armor bearer decided that I refuse to settle for where I'm at and where the enemy has tried to force me into, it gave somebody next to him the strength to get up and join the battle. Oh, yeah. There's somebody in this room that's watching you. There's a family member that may not even be coming to church right now, but they're watching you and they see the struggle that you've been going through and the things that you've been dealing with. And they say, how are they going to make it through this? It seems like it's impossible, all of the different things that have come against their mind, all of the different things that have come against their heart and their spirit, and even their family. I don't see how they're going to make it out of this. But all of a sudden, they see you lift up your hands and begin to worship God. They see you begin to lift up your hands in the presence of God and say, even though it may feel like you're slaying me, God, yet I will trust you. Yet I will worship you. That's how you fight your battles, is through worship. That's how you get the victory, is through your worship. I wonder if there's somebody in this place that may find yourself in a cave this morning that would just stand to your feet and slip up your hands and say, God, I worship you. I know I may be going through some things right now. I know there may be some burdens on my heart and on my spirit, but God, I'll give you an advanced praise. I'll give you an advanced worship because I know that you're not a God that would leave me in this low place. You're not a God that would leave me in the valley, but you're able to deliver me. So I'll worship you and I'll praise you in advance. I'll worship you and I'll bless you. Come on, that's it. Your situation is turning around right now. You may not feel it right now, but something is shifting in the atmosphere. Something is shifting in your situation. Something's turning around in your family. Yeah, victory is on its way. Healing is, victory is on its way. Deliverance is on its way. I don't care how long you've been in this thing, you're coming out. I don't care how long you've dealt with this thing, you're coming out of it. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Lift up your voice, people of God. Lift up your voice right now. God is turning something around in your life. You're coming out of this situation. You're coming out of this low place. You're coming out of this cave. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's some of you in this room that have been in some situations for quite some time. Oh, Jesus. You may be seated. I'm not going to be much longer, but I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now on me. Oh, in the name of Jesus. You've been in some situations for quite some time, and you've thought it was hopeless. You thought it would end. Your situation would end you. It would end your ministry. It would end you. It would end your family. But I'm here to tell somebody in this house that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. You're coming out of this thing. You're going to get the victory with power, anointing, and authority. You've taken it for long enough. You've taken it for long enough. The enemy has tried to beat some of you up for long enough. And you're saying today is the day that it ends. I'm making the decision that it's over with. I'm getting my ministry back. I'm getting my anointing back. I'm getting a breakthrough in this place today. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Would you lift up your hands all across this house? Musicians, you can come. You don't have to take it. You don't have to take that from the enemy. Your family doesn't have to take that from the enemy. But you say, today is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm getting my joy back. I'm getting my peace back. I'm getting my strength back. I'm taking it back. Wonder if there's anybody in this room that says, I'm done with the cave. I'm done with the cave. If that's you, I wonder if you would just make a bold decision and step out of your seat and just come to the front right now. You say, enough is enough. I've taken enough from the enemy. I've taken enough from spirits trying to attack my mind. I've taken enough of this. I'm going to walk from this day forward. I'm going to walk in dominion. I'm going to walk in authority. My family will not be tormented by the same spirits that I've been tormented by. But I'm taking this. I'm taking it back. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Today is the day of healing. Today is the day of restoration. Today is your day and your moment of victory and breakthrough right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And here's what I want you to understand today. That the enemy understands not only that if he can keep you in that cave, that he'll have victory over you, but he understands that if he can keep you silent, that he'll have victory over you. But if you will lift up your voice, he understands that there is power and there is authority in your voice. There is power and there is dominion in your voice. You've been trying to figure out why in the world has the enemy tried to keep me silent. It's because he understands that he is the prince of the air. And as soon as you lift up your voice, that you are stepping into his territory and you are tearing his kingdom down with your voice and the anointing that is in your voice. So I wonder right now, if the enemy has tried to keep you silent, I wonder if you would lift up your voice with a shout of praise that lets the enemy Noah, you no longer have dominion and authority over me, but I will walk out of this place with power. I will walk out of this place with authority. Come on, that's it, people of God. Lift up your voice right now. Lift up your voice right now. There's power in your voice. There's authority in your voice. Yeah. It's shifting. It's shifting. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Lift up your voice all across this room right now. Yeah. It's shifting. It's shifting. You're coming out of this thing. You're coming out of this thing with a right mind. You're coming out of this thing with peace. You're coming out of this thing with your joy back. Yes, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. There's some more of us in this room right now. I feel it. Oh, yes, God is calling for you right now. He's calling for you out of that place. You may not see a way out, but God is calling you right now. And if you'll just follow his voice is leading you out of this place. His voice is leading you out of the darkness. His voice is leading you out of the loneliness. His voice is leading you out. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. I hear some people in this room that are coming out of it right now. You're coming out of it. You're getting your peace back. You're getting your joy back. Come on, that's it, people of God. In the name of Jesus. 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 Have your way, Jesus. Come on, that's it. He's healing all across the room. He's restoring all across the room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.